Reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "Well, how can a man be born again when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your extraordinary love, which you've sung about this morning, and a love which endures and continues in our lives. We pray this morning we'd understand that, understand what it means to be born again of the Spirit of God, to live new lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my most distinct memories, I think, has to be the birth of each of our sons. It is an utterly extraordinary thing. That's not many of them in particular. Just an example of new birth. It is extraordinary that two microscopic cells could result in the birth of a new person. Birth, we agree, is a wonder. You are a wonder, a walking miracle. A few strands of DNA joined together, and here you are. Birth is a miracle. Today, you're offered another miracle, the miracle of new birth. You can be born again. Jesus said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And what did he mean by that? The expression "born again" has become a bit of a cliche. It was popularized in the US and even at one point was used to advertise cars. Jesus is telling us that we need to become completely new people if we are to follow him. We're in a series at the moment entitled "Living for Jesus." And this term we're focusing on the fact that if we're living for Jesus, this means living differently from our secular and often at least agnostic, if not atheistic, culture. There's only one way we can live for Jesus: by being made new ourselves by him. I wonder, did you realize that becoming a Christian means becoming a new person? It means being reborn. I think a lot of people get confused by that. They think it means becoming a Christian means joining the church club, signing up to a set of rules, or just trying to be good. Well, that's not what Jesus said being a Christian was about, being a follower of his was about. He said, "You must be born again. And I want to focus on that first word, you. Whoever you are, you need this new birth. See, the first response I think of a lot of people is, I don't really need this. I'm okay the way I am. You know, I do my bit. I'm a kind person. I come to church. Some people think that Christianity is a crutch for the broken and the needy, for people who've lived really bad lives. They're the kind of people who need to be born again, obviously. Well, it is true that Jesus came for the broken and those in need and the criminal. I remember meeting Shane Taylor briefly. Shane, for a while, was one of the most notorious and most violent men in the British prison system. And you can see his story on YouTube, one of the HTB's YouTube clips, Nikki interviews him. Extraordinary story, extraordinarily violent man. But he met Jesus. He put his trust in him. He was born again. And he is now a gentle giant of a man, working in prisons, caring for ex-offenders, sharing Jesus with many who were like him. Being born again isn't just something that only the criminal needs. Jesus said these words in our passage today to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was anything but a criminal. He was a Pharisee. He was part of the select group who had given their lives to keep God's law. He was so highly respected, but he was on the Sanhedrin. And they were a group of 71 people who ruled Israel at that time. In a way, he was anything but needy. He was very intelligent, if you like. He was the Oxford professor of his country. People from all over Israel came to Nicodemus to be taught by him. That made him important and successful. And he was rich, so rich that we read at the end of the Gospels, he provided the expensive spices to embalm the body of Jesus after his death, worth tens of thousands in today's terms. Nicodemus was religious, intelligent, powerful, and wealthy, and still he came to Jesus. Interestingly, he came at night to Jesus. He was intrigued by this man. Nicodemus needed to be born again. Why? Because every one of us, even people like Nicodemus, have twisted and damaged hearts that need renewing. In the Old Testament, God speaks through the prophet Ezekiel like this: "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a new heart." A new heart of flesh. We all need to be made new. We all need a new heart. And people could look at me and say, "Well, you know, you're the vicar, you must live a good life." The truth is, the closer I get to God and encounter his holiness and encounter his love, the more I realize I need my heart daily to be renewed. You must be born again. Apparently, John Wesley was once asked, "Why do you preach this sermon so often?" And a simple reply was, "You must be born again." That was his answer. You must be born again. So how? How can we experience this new birth? How can we be born again? Firstly, it's a work of God. Being born again is a work of God. Jesus tells us that we are born again by the Holy Spirit, not by our own effort. Just as a baby can't be conceived on his own or jump out of the womb on its own, neither can you or I be born again on our own. We need to encounter the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God comes to our spirit is made alive. We come to encounter Jesus. We understand and know him. It is a work of God in his great mercy. which Jesus' death has opened the way for and accomplished. The Spirit of God is seeking you out this morning, calling you to Jesus, calling you to follow God. God wants you to encounter him, and when you open your heart to him, you will meet him. So first of all, being born again is God's work. Secondly, though, this gift is received by faith. Jesus says that the Son of Man, the Son of Man, will be lifted up on the cross to die, so that everyone who believes in him will receive eternal life. When Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he knew he was heading to the cross to be lifted up, where he was going to bear the weight of all of our sins on himself, so that we could live forever. It's received by faith. Just over the holidays, my brother-in-law and his family visited New York, and we saw them a few weeks back, and they said one of the highlights was visiting Ground Zero. And our 9-year-old niece told us how gripped she was by the scene and the stories. Too young, obviously, to remember the events of 9/11, but gripped now by the stories. One of the things that stood out for this 9-year-old girl was the courage of the firefighters. These were remarkable men and women, as many scrambled down the staircases of the Twin Towers, wave after wave after wave of firefighters were passing them, not running away from the burning tower, but running straight into it. Most of them to a certain death. We live in a world that faces God's judgment because of the sin and the selfishness of our nature and our lives. But Jesus, the Son of God, loves us so much that he came to rescue us from the mess that is our lives and from judgment that waits us. Lois Tverberg writes in her wonderful book, Walking in the Dust of Rabbi Jesus, she writes these words: Christ is the captain of the rescue squad of this earthly palace of flames. He himself heads the charge into the burning devastation and sacrifices himself to redeem perishing humanity. That's how much God loves you. That in Jesus, he rushes to you and takes on himself the devastation that our lives have wreaked in order to rescue you. What extraordinary love that God has for you today to give his Son. And no wonder this verse in our reading today is one of the most precious for Christians across the world. God so loved the world. Then he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You could put your name into that verse. God so loves you, James. God so loves you, Karen, that he gave his one and only Son, that if you believe in him, you will not perish but have eternal life. You see, now it's actually so simple. God is calling you to put your trust in him, to trust him who has given his life in Christ for you, so that you will be born again. That's how simple it is. That's how we encounter the life-giving Spirit of God, by trusting our lives to him. Belief is an act of entrusting of ourselves. It's not just an intellectual assent. It's saying, here is my life, Father. I am trusting my life, the whole of my life, all of my plans, my future, the challenges, I'm trusting all of that to you. And as we do that, we encounter Jesus. We are born again. And we have new life. Have you done that? At the end, I'm going to pray and give you an opportunity, if you've never trusted your life to Jesus, to do so, that you might encounter his life-giving spirit, that you might be born again this morning. But before I do that, I want to speak to for a moment to those of us who are already Christians and have already taken that step. Are you living as if you're born again? Are you living in the new creation that God wants you to be? See, God makes us new, but he calls us to daily live that new life. The born again life. The life that is radical and full of compassion. Paul writes to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. If we are in Christ, if we have trusted him, we are new people. There is a new beginning. Our perspectives, our outlook on life are completely changed. And it's easy to forget and to start to live the old life again. It's easy, so easy, I know, just to slip back into old habits, forgetting that we have been made new. There's a constant call on us to wake each day, trusting again that God has made us new, counting ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. We have a life to live, and we're called to live this new life, this born-again life. We all know that too often there have been people who've described themselves as born again, who've lived lives that have not in any way backed up that claim. So it's an ongoing life, a new life, daily being filled by the Spirit, welcoming the new of Christ's love and compassion and integrity into our lives, counting ourselves dead to the old. We're called to live for Jesus. And his promise is to give us everything we need to do that. He will give us all the resources we need to live for him. What a comfort. It's not something we can do on our own. We can't be born on our own. We can't live on our own. Only by the power of his indwelling Spirit. But that Spirit, the Spirit of God, is always available for you to do this. I wonder this morning, do you know that you've lost sight of the fact that you've been born again? You've lost sight of what that means as you live out your life. And today you need the Lord to renew in you the joy of the new creation, the joy of that born again life. Today the Lord is offering you his heart. He's offering to change you so that you can be agents of change. You know, it's so important, isn't it, at this moment in our history that God's people are living the life he calls them to. And there's so much around us that challenges, that creates fear, that oppresses. The Lord is saying, I want my church, my people, to live the new life they're called to in the power of his Spirit. I want my people to be the new creations they are, to live for Jesus. That's our call to our church this year. Live for Jesus. I'm going to pray for us now. Let's just pray for a moment. Jesus said, you must be born again. And this gift of new life comes from him and is received when we put faith in him. And just for some of you this morning, maybe you've never actually responded to the call to be born again. And you're longing to know God. I'm just going to pray now. And if you are in that position, you might in your heart just want to echo this prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your extraordinary love for me. That you would come from the Father and dwelt by the Father to rescue me, to give me hope and a purpose. And this morning, Lord Jesus, I put my trust in you. Lord, I want to be born again. I want to know the new life of the Spirit. And I choose to follow you today, to leave behind my will, my desires, the old life, and to put my trust in you. And thank you, Lord, that when your word tells me I believe in you and put my trust in you, you come and new life comes. And thank you for that new life this morning. Amen. I just want to pray also for those of us who know Christ. I want to pray just for God's renewing in this new term of his life in us as we go into this coming week. Lord, thank you that we are new people. That if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. We choose this week to live the way of the new creation. That your Spirit would so fill our lives that we would bless those around us. That where there's falsehood, we bring truth. Where there's injustice, we would speak justly. We would be people of compassion and mercy. People who exude the life of Jesus. Lord, we want to live those lives. We need your help. Fill us with your Spirit again, we pray. Holy Spirit, have your way. Fill our lives that we might live this new life to the glory of God.